The other day when Paul asked me to preach, I had no idea what to preach on. Often when Paul asks me to preach, I will say something like, "Oh, that's great, Paul, because I believe the Lord gave me something a week or two ago and I really like to preach on that. That's great." But I had no idea. And I went to bed. I said, "Lord, I'm going to get up in the morning. I want to write my sermon or start working on my sermon. And I got no idea what you want me to talk about, Lord. So if you can give me something in the morning, that would be great." So he gave it me in the morning, all right. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and all that was going through my head and my heart was, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul." So I thought, well, maybe that's the word the Lord has given me. So the next morning I got up, I woke up, and it was still there. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So I tapped into my Word document on my computer and began to write. And that's how this sermon started. So to bless is the speaking of good or of doing good things to another. The Old Testament affirms that God is the source of blessing, the good favor, the well-being, the good thing bestowed upon people originates from God. In the Old Testament, the concept occurs over 400 times. In the Old Testament, blessing is often contrasted with cursing, and both related to obedience to God. And the law had been given and again restated in Deuteronomy. And it says, the Lord says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." So here's a concept of free will. The law has been given, the law has been restated, and the Lord is setting a free will choice between receiving a blessing or the option of a curse. Deuteronomy 11:27. "A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." Or verse 28. "And a curse if you will not obey the commands of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which you have not known." A very distinctive choice. A blessing if the Lord's commands are obeyed, a curse if the commands of the Lord are not obeyed. This is quite an amazing thing to ponder, really. It's actually letting us know that God is so committed to us that our personal well-being is directly related to our walk with Him. I think Joshua summed it up well when he said in Joshua 24:15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, the gods your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That free will choice. In 1 Kings chapter 13, there's a story. I think I preached on it before and I referred to it in the past. It's of a man of God who delivers a message from God to King Jeroboam. And after receiving the message, the king asks the man of God to go home with him and be refreshed and receive a reward. The man of God says he cannot because God has told him not to eat or drink and to return home a different way. But an old prophet from Bethel heard of this and went to the man of God. He invites him to come and dine with him. The man of God says he cannot because of what God has told him. Then the prophet from Bethel says that he too is a prophet and that God has told him it's okay for the man of God to come and eat with him. But he lied to him. He lied. And as they eat, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, saying to the man of God that he has eaten and drank and disobeyed God, and that he will not abide. He did not abide by the word of the Lord to him, but listened to another. I like the way the King James Version says it. It says that he disobeyed the mouth of the Lord. Disobeyed the mouth of the Lord. And on his way home, the man of God is killed by a lion. Now that's a curse brought on by disobedience. And that's a pretty extreme example of the consequences of disobeying God. But it also serves to highlight how seriously God sees the principle of blessing and cursing. As I said, in the Old Testament, blessing is the speaking of good or the doing of good to another. But cursing was to call down evil or injury on someone. And in ancient times, a curse was often viewed as a magical thing, a destructive power to call down. It's not the intention of Scripture that curse be viewed in a pagan way. In Scripture, a curse is seen more as a moral and not a magical concept. In Deuteronomy 29 verse 20, it says that the Israelites are warned of the consequences of not obeying the Lord their God and following on are the curses that will befall them. And the curses actually apply to the people, the animals, the city and the country. For me, I can imagine the people living in fear of cursing, with an interpretation that if anyone was suffering or had fallen on hard times, it could be interpreted as they'd been cursed by God. Now, you may not agree with my next statement, but for me, there is something of this blessing and cursing principle in the modern-day prosperity doctrine. If you're getting financially wealthy and lots of material gain, you are blessed by God. If you're not wealthy and you're lacking material gain, then you don't have enough faith. What's wrong with you? Give more, you'll get more. Up the ante. Buy my 6 steps book of easy ways to biblical wealth in just 7 days. Didn't work? Want your money back? Hey, where's your faith? Okay, I've only been a bit naughty here, using some hyperbole, but I can see where the prosperity doctrine has some grounding in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament has its place. We can never discount it to assist us in proper spiritual understanding. But it's just that. It's the Old Testament. So let's see what the New Testament has to say about blessing and cursing. A great place to start in the New Testament are with the Beatitudes. The word Beatitudes means blessed. The term Beatitudes is taken from the Latin word for blessed or fortunate. In that sense, there are many Beatitudes in the New Testament. But the words of Jesus in Matthew 5 and Luke 6 are generally considered and well known as the Beatitudes. They were spoken by Jesus at what we call the Sermon on the Mount, simply because Jesus was on a mountainside when he shared this message. By preaching the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus introduced a radical new view of what it meant to be blessed. Picking up in Matthew 5, 3 to 12, and you can cross-reference with Luke 6, verse 20 to 22. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's not my intention, nor do I have the time today to explore all the Beatitudes and what each one means. But there's 3 things I want to take note of. Firstly, that the Beatitudes describe a kingdom lifestyle for believers. Secondly, the Beatitudes look at attitudes and values. The Old Testament looked at behavior and promised rewards. Attitudes and values point more to the intentions of the heart attitude behind the actions, or that lead to the actions. And thirdly, the Beatitudes confront the pervading attitudes and values of society. Societal values where wealth, education, and personal achievement are progressed as more important than a heart relationship with God and being in His service. And that really leads to a beautiful thing about the Beatitudes. The blessings are primarily spiritual and carry a profound and amazing reward. A truly beautiful and exceptional reward. because the reward is found in two things, two beautiful and wonderful things. Reward is found firstly in the relationship enjoyed with God himself, and secondly by being in the service of God. What a blessing. What a blessing getting closer in our relationship to our Heavenly Father, and the honour of being used by him to serve him. Now that's what I call prosperity. Jesus was letting his followers know that for them, true fulfillment is found in godliness shown by a close relationship with God and service for God to others, and not in financial or material reward. Being blessed goes hand in hand with walking and communing with God. Now, I'm not saying that God will not bless his children financially or with material items. We need food. We need shelter. We need some material property. We have bills to pay. God has said he will give us our daily bread. Sometimes that happens in the natural day-to-day existence. We live through work, etc. But he at times will also provide in amazing and miraculous ways. Well, I know he has for me, and I'm sure he has for you, and many times. It's good to rely on our Heavenly Father for our provision. He wants us to do that. What he doesn't want is for the goal of our life to be the getting of more and more individual wealth and material items at the expense of missing out on the fellowship he wants with us and our partnership with him in the service he calls us to. When I read the Beatitudes, I think of brokenness and emptiness. I think of a life standing before God, a life recognizing it's so empty of the things of God that it's hungering that God will give at least a morsel to bring relief, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, comfort for the sadness the journey brings. Oh, to the change of my life to want to be more righteous, to live for God. If only I could be more merciful to others. If only my heart was pure, oh wicked man that I am, that one such as I might be able to just gaze on the face of the Lord. If I could only be a peacemaker instead of making war in my relationships. Lord, that you might count me worthy to be persecuted for your name's sake. Lord, I'm undone. I have nothing. I have no strength. I have no wealth. Here I am, Lord. Please take me. Use me. Mold me. I need your blessing. All else is filthy rags. Bless me, Lord. Bless me. I'm guessing we all go through times, including those sorts of similar cries from our heart in prayer to our Heavenly Father. I'm sure we all want to be blessed by God, even if we are not always directly saying, Lord, give me a blessing. As we know, the law was significant in the Old Testament together with the sacrificial system. The way of blessing in the Old Testament was through the obedience to the law and animal sacrifice. The New Testament reinforces that blessing is through faith. Galatians 3, 9 to 14. So they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Okay, so make very clear. So blessing is through faith. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Okay, so the law now brings its own curse, because Galatians 3 verse 10, continuing on, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So they receive, by not being able to keep every element of the law, it brings a curse. Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, the just shall live by faith. Very clear again, no one can be made right with God by the law, only by faith. We're going to jump to verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Beautiful. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus became a curse for us. He took the curse. And why? Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That we the Gentiles, that we might receive the blessing of the Spirit, receive the promise of the Spirit, receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit, and life with God, in fellowship with God, through faith. That's why Christ became a curse for us. He became cursed so that we could become blessed. How are we blessed? Is it money? Is it material gain? Is it position? Is it power? No, it doesn't mention any of those things. How are we blessed? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's our blessing. Receiving the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to confirm, to guarantee, and to seal us for all time in fellowship with God and in service to God. And not only that, but there is no curse for us because Jesus took it on our behalf. So there would be no hindrance to receiving the blessing. And I want to take this sort of full circle. What did the Lord give me to start this sermon? Woke up in the middle of the night. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I woke up in the morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Through Jesus dealing with the curse on the cross, through faith in what Christ has achieved, we receive the blessing of Abraham and are filled with the Holy Spirit, the ultimate blessing, reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. And because of that, we can now bless God from the depths of our soul. Bless our Father. How do we do that? We do it when we praise Him, worship Him, thank Him, acknowledge Him as the source of all goodness, when we pray to Him, when we serve Him, on and on and on and on. You know, when Jesus was being questioned by the high priest, listen to what Jesus was asked. In Mark 14:61, it says, but he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked and said to him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? The Son of the Blessed. In New Testament Greek, the use of the word for blessed is eulogetos or getos. I'm not quite sure how to say it, to be honest. And in fact, different Greek scholars use different pronunciations on some words. But it means blessed, praised. But when this particular word is used in the New Testament, this type of blessed and praised only applied to God. Only applied to God, this use of this word. Our Heavenly Father is the blessed, is the praised. And He is to be blessed and praised. You know, I see more and more a world rejecting our Heavenly Father. I see in the media, and I speak with people who say God is just a fairy tale. I hear and I speak to people who say because of what they see in the world, they wouldn't want to know our God. They blame Him for all the bad things. It's like if God allows the world to be like this, then it's not a God that they want to know. You know, we are the advocates of God. We don't have to understand and be able to explain everything. But we are to be witnesses that our God is God and He is a good God. He is the source of all goodness. You know, the devil is a source of evil. The devil's days are numbered. Christ will return soon. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will hand everything back to the Father for a glorious, glorious eternity. And it's quite possible for us too, that we may face persecution in a way that we have never known. Times are changing. But remember, persecution does not mean that we are not blessed. If we lose financial wealth, if we lose material wealth, if we lose position in society, if we lose power, if we lose all those things, it does not mean that God has stopped blessing us. In fact, if that does happen, I personally think we will be blessed abundantly with the blessings that count, a closer walk with God and our neighbour through service to God. We are living in interesting times, very interesting times. And if harder times are to come for us and for Christians, then until then, ponder on Luke 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as thyself. So if I may take a liberty and say, in your service to God and your neighbour, bless the Lord your God with all your heart, bless the Lord your God with all your soul, bless the Lord your God with all your strength, bless the Lord your God with all your mind. May all that is within you bless his holy name. Amen.